The following episode of The Listening Room originally aired on KGVM Bozeman on Wednesday, July 15th, 2026 at 10 a.m.
Is the listening room with Loren. You are listening to KGVM Bozeman 95.9. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We have another incredible, amazing, special guest today. We have Jacob Rowntree. Thank you so much for coming.
So happy to be here.
Well, yeah, we appreciate it. Jacob, tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you doing in Bozeman?
Yeah, so I've been here 11 years, which is crazy to say out loud. Moved out for college. I got a mechanical engineering degree. I worked in the field for about 3 weeks and then became a full-time musician after that.
Sounds way cooler.
Yeah, it's more fun, and I think there's a more spiritual kind of way I can actually exist in this life with through music and healing of music rather than just so much of engineering. I got cornered into DOD, like Department of Defense contracts and stuff. And so the music speaks to the soul a little more. I've been full-time musician. I think we're going on 7 years now. I tour all over the nation, which is fun. So I'm not really here that much in the summer, but then definitely hang out a little more in the winters.
Do you usually tour by yourself or are you with a band?
It's a good mix. I do have my full band as well. We go by Jacob Roundtree and the Somethings. It's kind of a joke name, but that's how we differentiate between if it's solo or band. But I do a lot of solo touring as well. I like to go, like if I want to go break a new market, I'll go, you know, 3-4 times by myself until I've got a couch to crash on and some friends that would show up to a show. Yeah. And then I can bring the band out and then we can actually go make some money.
With yeah. The band, so. Is that kind of what you did with New England? We were just talking about how he was recently on tour in New England. Did you go with the band or was that like a new market for you?
That was solo. Oh, yeah. Cool. I played Brooklyn and Cape Cod area. I've been there out there before, but I had just hadn't been further north. Yeah. So, that was just solo travels, but checking it out. And yeah, being here for 11 years, I'm kind of, I don't want to leave Montana, but I wouldn't mind seeing if there's somewhere else I could split my time. And
yeah, 11 years is a long time.
It's a long time. Yeah. I wouldn't mind some change. Yeah. Change is good.
How did you find your band? Were they already in Bozeman, or did you kind of know them before? Or
Yeah, good question. So they're all in Bozeman now, but and actually we all probably moved to Bozeman around similar times. But I didn't get knowing them until more recently, in the scale of 11 years. My bass player, Andrew Blackworm, he just found me. I was playing a show at the filling station.
Shout out.
And I think I was just playing solo. And he just shot a shot. He just came up to me and just said, hey, like, do you need a bass player? And so started playing with him, and he's excellent. Drummer, actually, a very similar story. He was also the filling station. He saw that I was playing with kind of stripped down hand percussion and not an actual drum kit. And so he offered up his drums. And so same thing there. And then my guitarist, Zach McKinley, he's been in kind of some punk bands back in the day. And we actually used to share a drummer in my old band and in his old punk band. And so it was kind of funny because I felt competitive with him because I thought he was trying to take my drummer from me.
Please don't.
And I didn't really know him back then, so he was just this guy stealing my drummer. But then, yeah, as time went on and music connects people, we ended up becoming friends, and nice. Now we get to play music together.
So he wasn't trying to steal your drummer?
I think he was. Oh. honestly, he could have had Marcus first. I don't even remember, so maybe I was stealing his, but
But now you all play together.
Yeah, but now we're all just one big happy family.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you prefer, I mean, I'm sure there's pros and cons to both, but do you like going solo versus with the band? Or when you're solo, are you like, damn, I wish I had the band with me?
Yeah, that's a good, I mean, I'm a pretty independent person, so I do like solo traveling, and I can keep myself pretty entertained. And it is pretty cool to get to play some bigger stages by yourself and feel like, I mean, I've worked really hard with loop pedals and effects and multiple instruments to kind of fill the space. So I'm not just strumming chords. So it's cool to see that my solo stuff can fill stages.
Totally.
However, it's always better having friends on stage. I mean, there's a, maybe a more soulful expression I get to have solo because I can be a little more free with the song structure and just kind of float around and be more expressive and emotive versus with the band, we're a little more rock and energetic. And but there's fun parts in that too, where you get the fans dancing and it's a little more communal,
yeah,
I think, with the band.
Yeah, so, totally.
Yeah, pros and cons.
Well, I'm excited to hear some of your solo stuff right now. Do you want to, I mean, you can pick whatever song you want to start with.
Sure. Let me see here. Let's do... This is kind of a fun song. This is called Tip of the Scale. this was a song just regarding, this was a song where my, I had a friend of mine who had some injuries and post-injuries was kind of falling apart, lost his girlfriend, lost his jobs, and we were both playing music together. And, you know, I felt like I was loving life and celebratory. Meanwhile, my friend alongside me was kind of falling apart. So it's a song of kind of contrast, I suppose. From me coming back around, I'm ready to be dancing in the crowds and rain over me and holding out till now. Grass is greener on the other side. Mom always told me, just don't walk that line. The grass is greener from what I can tell. Closer you get, it's just a tip of the scale. Slow me down. I'm feeling free, grounded in the prow. And wash over me, been holding out till now. Is greener on the other side. Mom always told me, just don't walk that line. The grass is greener from what I can tell. Closer you get, just a tip of the scale.
Thank you. That was awesome.
Thank you so much.
Is that a newer one or an older one?
Probably about a year and a half. It's definitely my latest. It's on my latest album.
Okay. And what's that?
That song was called Tip of the Scale, but the album is called Truth or Dare.
Truth or Dare. And what number album is that for you?
That is number three. And yeah, number four is pretty well on its way, probably about half recorded.
So, really?
Yeah, album number four is plugging along. Which
How
is
do you
fun.
Do your recording?
I've got a studio out in Belgrade.
Oh, nice.
I record everything. I can play all the instruments, but with the band, I definitely prefer to hire them and play with them and kind of do that collaborative feel.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll hire outside the band, too. I've got some musician friends all over the world that I like to hire sometimes, which is fun, too.
Cool.
So sometimes there's some kind of email piecemeal going together with some of the layers, but yeah, we'll all record out in Belgrade. And then Truth or Dare, I started to mix, and then I worked with Jake Fleming at his studio over off Frontage Road, and then but some of these songs too, I'll mix and master everything myself too. So
yeah,
I've learned all the processes, but I've definitely learned it enough to know when to hire it out and respect other people's professionalism in the categories too.
Kind of ask for help a little bit.
Yeah.
When did Truth or Dare come out?
I think 24, 25.
Okay. I think so. I don't know. It's you're kind of on a roll. I mean, that's not that long ago, and then to already be coming out with another album is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And you already have three out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm sure that's trying. I mean, I guess it helps not having a day job. Gives me like a lot of time to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a pretty big backlog of tunes that I'm just trying to get out. So.
Yeah. So are you putting out albums and then writing a bunch of new songs, or did you have all these songs before and you're just kind of putting them on the record that you think they belong on?
Yeah. So my first, I'll answer this kind of indirectly, I guess, but my first album is really low quality, and I guess there's a charm to it. I don't really like it anymore, but some people still do.
I love low quality albums.
Yeah, I recorded it in the closet of my freshman year dorm.
That sounds awesome.
So it's really rough.
At MSU.
Yeah, nice. 100%. But I started getting some opportunities to open up for some kind of bigger regional bands, and the advice I got was, you have to have an album, you have to have an album.
Yeah.
So I did everything I knew how to do at whatever age that is, 18, to put out an album. And yeah, I don't love it anymore. But I don't want to get rid of it. And so my thought is maybe re-record the best five songs off the 10-song album. Leave the old one up, but just modernize with my new band sound some of the best ones. So that's kind of an easy way to beef out some of these newer albums too, is just, here's like a little ode of nostalgia, of kind of like a remix of an old song. So some of them are old. Like some of them I probably wrote at 16 years old. Wow. Some of them are like, I have the full guitar part and the arrangement written, but I just need to write the chorus or something. So yeah. Some of them are still works in progress. I just mastered a song yesterday. So it's like, I'm kind of treating them like singles, but they do have a cohesive feel to them.
And these are all songs that are from your first album that you're putting on your newer one.
It's a mix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and so you said you wrote one when you were 16, which was kind of one of my questions that I was going to ask you, is when did you start writing? And like, when did you, I know that you obviously didn't want to be an engineer anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's why you started doing music full time. But before you went to college, did you have a dream to be a musician full time? Or was that just like kind of called to you when you didn't like what you were doing?
Yeah. So I started playing piano in, I think, like fifth grade. So music's been a part of my life for a long time. And then I think I switched to guitar sometime early elementary school. So music's always been a part of my life. At that age, it was just something I was kind of told to practice or told to do. I wouldn't really say I had a lot of passion in it. It wasn't until in high school, I actually was competing with like park skiing, like the jumps and rails and stuff like that, snow skiing.
Out of Spokane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, so Mount Spokane and Schweitzer were the two mountains, but then I'd go out to like Mount Hood and stuff like that too, out in Oregon. So I think I've always known I wanted the untraditional. Like, I was always into kind of believing in myself and being self-employed. I was a photographer also in high school and doing some like weddings and senior photos and stuff. So I always liked monetizing arts and, you know, not just skiing, but actually competing in skiing. Like, I liked going that extra mile to actually try and get money off of my passions.
Yeah.
So I think I always knew I wanted something untraditional, but I definitely grew up in a risk adverse family where, you know, play it safe and stable and get your degree and, So, yeah, I guess I had a couple pretty good ski injuries my senior year of high school, and that's when guitar really became kind of therapy and self-help and like almost like a necessity and not just something to do.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, so it was probably around 18 years old when guitar became kind of a lifeline for me. So then all through college, I mean, before I even had a car, like I was biking to college, and then I would bike with like my amp and my guitar to downtown open mics and stuff like that. So I kind of lived a double life where I would go to school, but then my social group was musicians. And so I maintained both all through college. I don't know if I was convinced full-time music was even an option. I just wasn't really raised to think that way.
How did your family react when you told them you were going down this path?
Yeah, so I was currently working a job that was hopefully going to lead towards an actual engineering job. I was kind of yeah, that's a different story. But it was kind of a dead end factory job, and the company was going bankrupt. And they, yeah, I was supposed to be an engineer, but they told me let's talk about like a 10-year plan. So I was sitting there feeling just kind of wasted at that company. So I remember calling my parents probably daily, just because I was so miserable. I was like, I hate this job. I spend every second thinking about all the things I could be doing with music.
When you're like 18, you're like, why is life so like stressful and serious loved college. Right now?
Like, I loved learning engineering, but then my first time actually applying it was like, this sucks. Yeah. And so I've called a lot just being like, I want to quit. And my parents gave me the advice, it's always easier to get a new job if you have a job. So I tried to hold on to that, but that lasted about 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I just finally kind of made an executive decision for my own life. I quit. My dad is an accountant, so I think he kind of played his life safe and stable. And so he actually kind of supports me.
Mm-hmm. He's like, dude. Lives a little bit through you.
Yeah, he's like, you got one life. Like, do what you want to do. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
My mom sends me jobs every single day. I mean, it's like, yeah.
So does mine.
Yeah. She supports me for sure, but she's also,
I think that's,
she wants the best.
Yes, that's what moms do.
Exactly.
Even though I have a job, she still wants me to have a different job.
You need more. Yeah.
Could be a better job.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's cool that, you know, ultimately they were kind of just wanted you to be happy and supported you. And it takes a lot of courage to do what you did. So that's nice that you were in, like, you looked out for yourself ultimately. And you were like, I don't want to do something that makes me unhappy.
Totally. And especially, I think when my family was a pretty healthy family dynamic, and there's a lot of respect, mutual respect going on there. And so it was kind of a challenging thing at you know, the ripe age of 18 to go against my wisdom of my parents.
It's not easy,
just finally do something for me. Just be like, no, this is for me. Like,
yeah.
I need this. And
yeah. And it could crash and burn, but it didn't.
Yeah, it didn't.
You killed it.
I mean, I was broke for like the first 10 months of doing it, but I was so happy that I knew I was onto something.
Yeah.
And I've done some startups and stuff like that in between to kind of float and go back and forth, but the music has, oddly enough, been the most consistent.
Yeah.
So.
What's like one of the first moments where you thought to yourself, this is working?
That's a good question. I think one of the like early on bigger events is it was Montana State's 125th birthday. And so they put like a big stage on the Walking Mall on campus. And I got to play that kind of festival style. And that was like my first time being on stage with who at the time I thought was like Bozeman Legacy, just like all the big names of Bozeman. And
totally.
I actually got to be on the stage with them. And I think, and then there was a couple opportunities probably that same year where like I did a thing at Bogart Park in that band shell.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple thousand people there. And so there's just a couple early on moments where I had, you know, good attendance, or at the very least, good networking and just opportunities.
Yeah.
And you get a couple of those extra special opportunities, and it's kind of like
keeps
a drug.
You
just keep chasing it.
Totally.
Yeah,
and it's cool how they all kind of come at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't. But then they come
again. They come again.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to, I guess, remember that through the times when they're not there. But that's
totally
awesome. Do you want to play us a song from that time or whatever you want, really?
Let me see here. The voice is pretty tired, but we're going to give this one a go.
I know. Thank you so much for coming out in the morning.
It's all good. I don't mind it. It's a little sneak peek of album number 4.
Okay.
Woke up on the floor again, just searching for a sign. The afternoon's still spinning and my health is borderline. Got caught up in the distance to even make it to my bed. Place my luck onto a chance of landing 3 times heads. But I would stay for the day, it's beyond your mind. For yeah, it was time. I would wait for the things that I never gave. Maybe now it's mine. For we had was time. For we had was time. Been driving desert, I've been calling to the coast. Redefine this dream of mine for a future I can't hold. Could give up all this distance, I could give you up instead. Place my luck onto a chance of landing three times heads. But I would stay for the day just beyond your mind. For all we had was time. I would wait for the things that I never gave. Maybe now it's mine. If all we had was time. If all we had was time. Couch again, just wishing you were here. Very thought of you, keep me smiling through the years. Kept up on the distance, all these miles I have spread. Gave it all up for a chance of landing three times heads. But I would stay for the day just beyond your mind. For we had was time. I would wait for the things that I never gave. Maybe now it's mine. If all we had was time, I would stay for the days beyond your mind. If all we had was time, I would wait for the things that I never gave. Maybe be now it's mine. If all we had was time. If all we had was time.
That was great.
Thank you, thank you.
You said that's going to be on your new album?
Yeah.
I really like that one.
Probably my newest. There might be one newer song than that one, as far as when I wrote it, but.
When did you write that one?
Probably like 3 months ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like the lyrics.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Where did that one come from?
A breakup.
Yeah.
Like a lot of good songs.
Yeah,
I guess I've had pretty terrible choice in women in the past, and I finally had a relationship that was healthy and good, but it just was, you know, good person, wrong time kind of thing. And so it's kind of my first time leaving a relationship without resentment or like without some easy emotion.
Which can be harder.
Yeah, totally. Like there was still respect and care.
Yeah.
And so it was just, it was just kind of the contradiction of basically a song of kind of like gambling. Like, you know, we're both self-employed individuals. And so it was like the gamble of pursuing our work rather than each other. So
yeah,
we'll see. We shall see.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of musicians and, I mean, other artists or whatever, people who are self-employed chasing some kind of dream have to a lot of time make that choice of, like, do we have a relationship or do we keep doing what we're doing
totally.
With our dream? And it does, it's unfortunate that sometimes that has to be a choice that you have to make. But I find that there's like a common thread with the musicians I talk to that they feel that way.
Interesting. Yeah. There's a happy medium in there somewhere, but there's got to be a lot of compromise along the way because a traveling musician is, that's a crazy life and it's not for everyone. And, you know, I don't want to be the type of guy that's always gone.
Right.
And so it'd be ideally you find a way to kind of travel together sometimes, but that takes a unique employment and a unique lifestyle for the other person too. So it's. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wish you guys the best.
Thank you. Yeah. No, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Well, a good song came out of it, so that's all that matters.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you find a lot of your songs are written in times of pain and reflect, not necessarily pain, but transition time, or Do you ever write a song when you're like doing great and you're like, oh, now I have like the best setup for a song?
Yeah. Definitely early on, like I was saying earlier, when I really dove into music, it was through injuries and kind of coming to age. And so my first album's pretty sad and sappy. I also dealt with quite a bit of death at a pretty short period of time with my family at a younger age. So I think a lot of that was processing that. I definitely never try and write a song just to bum people out, though. Like, I think there's always a silver lining of hope or of kind of family or of community. I always want something to grab onto.
Yeah.
I don't want to just be a rock in the ocean kind of thing. But so I think some of my really personal songs, I've been able to be vulnerable enough through loss of whatever kind, whether that's death or breakup or heartbreak or family or whatever. But yeah, like that first song I played, Tip of the Scale, that's a pretty celebratory tune. Mm-hmm. And that's honestly kind of celebrating my youthful ignorance.
Yeah.
Because it's like I had just turned 21, was already a full-time musician, and was getting paid in beer. Life was good. Like, you know, I was sitting there, and yeah. It's like it's all I needed at the time. $800 a month, $200 a month, it didn't really matter. Money came and went, but I was
having
fun.
Reminds me of, like, Mac Miller's album Kids.
Totally.
He's like, we're just all making so much money right now.
And right.
Like, all my friends get to, like, enjoy it, too.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So that was a pretty kind of, especially writing it, I don't know, 7 years later, it was kind of looking back on how ignorant my celebration was. But there's a beauty in that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and then I've written some other songs that I guess I've always enjoyed soul music. And to me, soul has always had a bit of a blues, like a bit of the blues to it.
Mm-hmm. I caught that in your first song for sure.
Nice.
I could hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I always kind of thread that needle, but I do have some pretty fun celebratory songs.
It seems easier to write a song in a hard time than a good time.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost necessity as a songwriter or a poet. But I had a really cool friend who was a child therapy kind of gal, mm-hmm. psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time, as a young songwriter, I thought it was so cool that I was sharing my vulnerability with the people and, like, I was able to talk about my hard times. But she told me that it's actually much more courageous to be openly happy.
Yeah.
Which kind of transformed not only just how I carry myself, but also how I started to write songs from there on out. Because it's so true. Like, everyone has a common complaint. Everyone can be miserable about something. It's so easy to be depressed or negative or anxious.
Yeah.
It's so easy, especially in modern day times. It's so easy to attach onto something toxic.
Mm-hmm.
But to sit there and do the personal work to be happy or to be strong enough to be happy or to celebrate love or to, you know, in your friend group, to be able to say, like, I have a lot, or I have a killer wife, or I have a killer this.
Yeah.
Like, to be proud of what you have is almost frowned upon from an outside perspective.
Yeah, and I think it translates sometimes ignorantly to being, like, uninteresting or,
sure.
like undimensional.
Yeah.
And that's not the case at all.
Totally.
But I feel like it comes with that connotation sometimes, like, oh, well, their life's perfect,
yeah.
or whatever, as to say that, like, they didn't go through anything to get to that point. So I really appreciate what you're saying, and I think it does, like, it's a great point. It does take a lot of courage to just be like, I'm good.
Yeah,
you know,
life is good.
And feel good about that statement.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I felt like I had something to add.
Oh, sorry. No. You.
It's all a great conversation. Yeah, anyways, you are spot on. I think there is a courage to it. And I think it's still funny because I this album number 4 is the first collection of songs. I actually feel like the band is starting to have their own voice. So it's not just Jacob bringing his music to the band and saying, mm-hmm. play this. We're actually kind of in the writing process together, or we've played together long enough that they're starting to affect how I write songs.
Cool.
So that's a really cool place to be, and I think that is also helping with some of the kind of celebration or the impetus of, like, where the stories are coming from. Because now I feel like I'm writing a little bit more of, like, a collective life experience rather than just dumping out my woes into the world.
Yeah, you're taking from a lot of different corners.
Yeah, it's communal now, and it's kind of this effort where it allows me to ponder life in ways outside of my own thinking, which I think is really, really healthy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty big feat for a songwriter, is to be able to write a song in someone else's shoes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not just like through your lens.
Totally. Yeah, we'll see. I guess I'm still kind of digesting all these songs because they're just in the works of all of them. So I haven't been able to psychoanalyze them from like a third perspective yet.
But yeah, I'm excited. I think you are right.
Yeah.
When does it come out again? I know you said you're like halfway through.
So. Yeah, I don't have a release date. I might do the whole modern day single release strategy where you just like every 6 weeks, here's a song, here's a song, here's a song.
Yeah.
And then I could package them all up on a physical album later. I'm leaning towards that. That's just kind of where all the algorithmic desires are, is to just consistency.
Yeah, just push something out as soon as it comes.
Yeah, so I have two songs that I could release tomorrow if I wanted, but I'm kind of trying to hold out. My goal is to bank up maybe six songs and then start that single release strategy so I can basically, like, if six songs every 6 weeks, that gives me quite a bit of time to finish up the rest and then just hopefully kind of keep this perpetual write a song, release a song kind of flow.
Yeah.
Is the goal.
So, cool. You have about 10, 13 songs on the album.
My whiteboard of ideas in my room has 15 concepts on it.
Oh, wow.
But cool. I would say like five of those are pretty just conceptual. Like they have.
When you say concepts, are you writing like an idea for a song and then you turn it into a song?
Yeah. So it could be like a guitar riff. Like, okay. Oh, I really like that. I want to make that something. Or it could be a one-liner concept.
And you write it on this big whiteboard.
Yeah, I've got a
big that sounds like a really
studio.
That sounds so like a very streamlined, good way to do things.
I'm an engineer at heart. I still have the math brain that forces me to kind of approach music with maybe too much logic sometimes. But
that sounds great.
Yeah, German blood and engineering. I don't know what it is. My DNA or what, but my creative brain is very mathematical and yeah.
Well, it sounds systematic. Like it's working for you.
So far, so good. Yeah.
Nice. Do you want to play another one? Because we have about 20 minutes left. Thank you guys for listening to The Listening Room on KGVM Bozeman. This is Jacob Rountree.
So I'm going to give my guitar a little tune.
Are you playing anywhere in town?
I'm actually playing the rooftop of the AC Motel this evening.
Oh, really?
Benchmark,
is
what that bar's called.
Yeah, I was there last week seeing Colin, and I think Ella plays tomorrow or something, and you're playing tonight.
Yeah. So
yeah, there's a ton of good people up there. What time's your show?
I feel like 6 to 8. I'd have to.
What day is it? It's a Wednesday. Probably Wednesday. 6 to 8.
I feel like they're kind of brewery bar time.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so I got that show coming up. Other than that, most of my stuff's out of state through October. But give me a little bit of time here, and I'll be. My band and I will be playing all over town again. We like to play the Tune-Up Bar a lot.
Shout out the Tune-Up.
Shout out Tune-Up.
One of the best, or the kind of the only listening room in town now that Live from the Divide's not here, which, I mean, Tune-Up's not really a listening room, but it can be.
Live from the Divide?
No, Tune-Up. Live from the Divide, yeah. I would say, is a listening room.
Totally.
But they're no longer in Bozeman.
I know. Have you been to the new location?
I haven't. I want to go in October to see a guy named John Moreland.
That dude's awesome.
He's so cool. Good. Yeah, and I was going to see Jeffrey Martin there, but I ended up going to see him in Butte instead. Because I take any opportunity to go to Butte.
Butte's a fun town.
I love going to Butte.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's some great names passing through. I will make my way down there for sure. I just haven't yet.
Cool.
I've been in the Empire. It's a cool space.
Yeah, I've been just like at the coffee shop next door, but I've actually not been inside, so.
It's one of those old theaters that definitely has a cool feel to it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any, I really don't think we've got a lot of local stuff. I mean, some Helena and stuff like that, but.
Where in Helena?
The city puts it on. It's just in the Last Chance Gulch, kind of in front of the 10 Mile Creek Brewery.
Cool.
But it's just like a little outdoor, I think it's on Fridays, just like a little music on the walking mall thing. And people walk by, you can get your drinks outside and just kind of hang out.
Sounds fun. When's that?
The next weekend? Friday?
Cool. Next Friday.
Whatever date
that is. Go to Helena.
My life is on a paper calendar and not in my brain, so.
You don't have that on the whiteboard?
No, whiteboard's just the vision board. All right, I think I'm in tune though.
Okay.
So this is a song that was actually on my middle album. And when my band came along, my modern new version of this band, it all became their favorite songs to play, and they changed it in a really, really cool way.
Oh, how
fun. So per their request, we're actually going to re-release this tune, and this is the song I just finished mastering maybe 2 days ago.
Okay.
So this is called Halcyon. It's defined as reminiscent of better times, but it is a song of hope. My last album had, you know, some of the kind of original sad, sappy stuff from my first album, but then it also was the turning point of starting to write some happy music. So I had this kind of blend of songs, and I had 9 songs. I wanted 10, and this was the last song I wrote, and I wrote it really just to kind of blend sadness and happiness. And I figured, what better way than kind of write a theoretical song of falling in love, or at least chasing love. Because I wanted a hint of sorrow in there, but I also wanted to kind of, yeah, blend on over to the celebration side. So this is Halcyon for you all. Lie down right here with me, Caprice, we sing. Let down your hair, some silk to breathe. Every memory, well, it's been so long for the words to say, won't you stay?
Oh,
the first sign of change, and I'm asking you, babe, won't you stay?
I really like that one.
Thank you so much.
That one's going to be on the new album?
Yeah. Cool. That one, I'm having a hard time not releasing this one, honestly. The production of it is, it's maybe because I was so familiar with the song, but I, from recording to master, I think was like 3 days. And usually it takes me like, I don't know, 6 weeks, I feel like, or something like that. Wow. And so it got done really quick, and it felt just every artistic choice I made along the production phase just felt like the right choice. There was no kind of BS or no backtracking. It just
you can almost hear naturally. That when you play it like that. I just, when you play that song, you can tell it, you connect with it a lot.
Cool.
You know?
Yeah.
The guitar playing is awesome.
I appreciate
just like
that.
That whole, whatever, picking.
The finger picking.
The
yeah.
picking method that you came up with for that. It's just, it's a great song.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, your voice has a lot of control. And that one's called what?
Halcyon.
Halcyon.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you should release it soon.
Yeah, I can make that happen.
But that's the one that your band said, that's the one that you play differently with your band, or that's the way your band likes to play it?
Yeah, so this was on my As I See It album, which was my second album, and this was right around the time that I lost my drummer. And I do play the drums. I'm a mediocre drummer. I can like execute what I hear in my head, but it just takes me quite a few takes. Okay. I'm not a great live drummer, but I can get there eventually if I'm trying to produce. All that said, though, this was early on in my drumming days, and so I just kind of like added layers of drums to this song, and the production on it was just pretty weak. It's an okay song. I'm not like the bones were always strong, but I just think I was just a little young in the production phase when I did release the original version of it. And so now that I got this new band where everyone's pros and experts at their craft, everyone just added such cool parts. I mean, the bass is uniquely really cool. The drums have such a cool groove to them. The guitar player's playing, you know, with his fingers over the fretboard and slide. And it's all stuff that I would have never been able to play because it's their personalities all in the song.
Yeah.
So it just kind of birthed a new version of it. And it was just enough that everyone in the band connects to the song.
Yeah.
And so per request of the band, they're like, we got to re-record it.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. It's not like we're really in a physical world anymore where we have to have packaged albums with logic behind them. It's like, I can release whatever I want.
You can do the acoustic version on a different album if you want.
Totally.
You
know? Yeah, I could have 7 versions of a song and just keep putting it out there. But
yeah,
not that I would. But
yeah. I'm a sucker for just a guitar, but I am really excited to see how it, because it sounds awesome with the band.
Cool. Yeah, it's kind of Death Cab. It gets a little Death Cab for Cutie in there. Kind of has some like digital synth stuff, but
cool.
But tasteful and subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I have to get a quick add-in for the awesome station.
Sure thing.
Shout out KGVM and all of our sponsors. Tonight we're going to, today, we're going to hear from Red Tractor and the Grey Dog.
KGVM is grateful for the support of the Grey Dog Bar. Grey Dog is located at 34 North Bozeman Avenue, offering live music, pool, darts, game boards, foosball, and more. They are open Tuesday through Saturday from 6:30 to close, and on Sunday from 5 to 9. They host bluegrass on Tuesday, open jam and open mic on Wednesday, karaoke on Thursday, live bands on Friday, DJs on Saturday, and a tango lesson and open tango dance on Sunday. You can find more information on Instagram at The Grey Dog Bar or on their website, thegreydogbar.com. Thanks, Grey Dog, for hosting live music and supporting community radio. KGVM is grateful for the support of The Grey Dog Bar. Grey Dog is located at 34 North Bozeman Avenue, offering live music, pool, darts, game boards, foosball, and more. They are open Tuesday through Saturday from 6:30 to close, and on Sunday from 5 to 9. They host bluegrass on Tuesday, open jam and open mic on Wednesday, karaoke on Thursday, live bands on Friday, DJs on Saturday, and a tango lesson and an open tango dance on Sunday. You can find more information on Instagram at The Grey Dog Bar or on their website, thegreydogbar.com. Thanks, Grey Dog, for hosting live music and supporting community radio.
Okay, we're back with Jacob Roundtree on The Listening Room. I was just telling him we only have 10 minutes left, and I always kind of lose track of time on these shows because they, time slips away. I think I need a 2-hour set. but I definitely want to hear at least one more song, so pick one for us that you want to share.
Yeah, this one will be a fun one. So this is also going to be on album number 4. It's a little sneak peek. It's called Weight of Your War. This was kind of written after purging some horrible people out of my life. I'll just leave it at that. But this is called Weight of Your War. Usually it's pretty grungy electric, so it'll be fun to do this on a classical guitar and see how it transfers. It's hard to digest, story untold. You think you know me, under mind control. I've come to notice now, the weight of your war. Could you ever follow through? The words you sang is true, just to hide behind your fame. Would you ever take the blame as you mispronounce my name and the world comes down on you? Tired, I'm tired, your demands for desire to get higher and higher when you're the supplier. The fortune of the youth is escaping you. It's left me too tired. I'm tired. The world is on fire. Define your own logic. Strength of your hold, it's all in protest, yet you do as you're told. I've come to notice now how weight of your war. Could you ever break on through for the notion I drew of this life you take of mine? Would you ever apologize, even look them in the eyes as the world comes down on you? Tired, I'm tired, your demands for desire to get higher and higher when you're the supplier. The fortune of the youth is escaping you. I'm well aware that it's left me too tired and tired. Higher and higher when you're the
That was fun.
Yeah.
I like that one.
It's kind of an eclectic tune, but it's
cool. I can hear your Northwest roots in that one.
Can you?
That's cool. It kind of reminds me, well, you said you do it like kind of grunge style with the band usually, yeah. And I can totally hear that. Cool. It gives me like a Bridge City Sinners feel, nice. If you know who they are.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I appreciate that. That's fun.
Yeah. Did you write that like by yourself or with the band?
I wrote that one. Trying to think. I think the band has all their parts down. That one, I mean, we've been playing it live. I think I just wrote it last fall. So we played it on the first time we played it was a tour down in Southern Oregon. And it went really well live. We kind of played it without really rehearsing it. And it went so well that, yeah. But I think we're still kind of, I think we've all demoed it and recorded it, but I do think we need to just kind of clean up some parts on that song.
Yeah.
So the bandmates wrote their individual parts, but I do all the lyrics and the guitar. But I am looking forward to opening up influence even more so with the band and having them, yeah. I think I'll hold on to the lyrics.
I like the lyrics.
Cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate
You're tired of people bringing you down in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's a bad feeling.
Give me some space, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes, I think that's part of growing up. That's a lesson I learned in growing up personally, that it's been hard to kind of actually execute, you know?
It is hard.
But the more you do it, the more I think it shows that you love yourself.
Totally.
You
know? I had a really cool bandmate back in the day, and she gave me a book about boundaries. And I remember looking at it like, I don't want to read that. That's dumb. That's stupid. But as I'm getting older, it is the power of boundaries. I never read the book, so I can't speak on the book's behalf. But it is something that's come into my life more so as an adult, is as someone that's kind of been a chronic people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rude to say what you need and just do what you
Keep
want.
Keep your
and,
peace.
Yeah. You can be a little selfish and still be kind.
Yes.
Like, you don't need a big ego, but you can choose yourself first.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Totally.
Good lessons to learn.
Absolutely. Some wisdom for your, what is it, Wednesday?
Wednesday morning? It is mornings? Wednesday morning. It's really early. You have any other plans for the day?
Hopefully do some more studio work.
Yeah.
I had a tune that I loved, just guitar and vocals. But I wanted an acoustic version and a full band production, and I just could not figure out how to produce it. And I finally broke that creative barrier a couple days ago.
How long is the song?
It's in a very different tuning, so I don't know if I can play it, unfortunately.
Well, we only have like 2 minutes anyway.
That's fair.
So
yeah, it'd be longer than that.
We'll have to hear it next time. But
sneak peek for next
time. So when you release this album in parts or whenever you do, are you going to go on a tour for it?
That's the hard part. I kind of just constantly tour.
Okay.
It's just kind of constant these
Wait,
days.
Wait, you just opened up for the Marshall Tucker Band, didn't you?
Yeah.
How was that?
That was incredible. All those guys were super kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun. Sold out Pine Creek show, which can never complain about that.
Have you ever done that before?
No.
So cool.
Yeah, I've done indoor in the little beer garden stage. But that was the first time on the main stage, let alone with that kind of turnout.
Legendary stage.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Super special, perfect weather, great audience.
Cool.
Yeah. That was special.
Definitely. Yeah, and they asked you, or did Chip set that up?
I think Chip set it up. I actually got banned from Pine Creek for a few years.
Oh.
I got sick and canceled a gig, maybe during, I don't know, COVID times, 2020 or something.
Oh.
And I wasn't welcome back for canceling.
Oh.
But he finally heard us again as a full band and was like, all right, you're good. Like, nice. Come on out. So he invited us back, which is super kind. And yeah, I think Chip set that up. He pitched cool. it to them and they approved us.
Well, we do get kicked off air in like 30 seconds. So I just want to reiterate that this has been Jacob on The Listening Room with KGVM Bozeman. We're so, so happy you came on the show.
Thank you so much.
Your music is awesome. I'm stoked to hear your new album. You can find him touring all over the country, solo and with his band. So just keep an eye out for all your local venues. See when they're coming through.
Thank you so much, yo.
Yeah, thank you, Jacob. Have a good Wednesday.